time of the year that we all start getting ready for winter. And let's see how many of you have got wood furnaces. Put up those hands. Oh, I've got a question for you. Put up those hands. Have you got the wood in, all of you? Oh, you should get the wood in. The rest of us, we don't need to get the wood, but we need to take care of a lot of things before winter comes. And hopefully by now, you've already changed your furnace filter. Now, when we just bought the house, I didn't know that furnace was that filter. We didn't know anything about furnaces, so I didn't know it had a filter. And we were renovating. And so I read some stuff about moving the ductwork off of the furnace if you wanted to move it in the basement. So I went online to read about balanced and unbalanced air and just make sure I don't mess it up. So on one of the diagrams that I saw that the furnace on the diagram had a filter. My arrow there, furnace filter. Like, oh, our furnace doesn't have a filter. So then I just went to have a look in case where it could have been. And what did you know? We had a filter. So I think this was February. We bought the house in November, started renovating right away, a lot of drywall dust and stuff. So by February, when I took out that furnace filter, guess what it looked like? Yeah, I don't think it was a filter anymore because nothing was filtering through anymore. But anyways, I've got a new one, put it in, and lo and behold, the heat in our house, oh, it's great after cleaning the filter. There was actually some airflow going through all the registers. Anyways, we had this furnace filter afterward. It was quite yucky when I did that. But what is the use of the furnace filter? Or any filter for that matter, gas filter, oil filter. What is the purpose of a filter? Not now. What's the purpose of a filter? Take the impurities out. Let some stuff through. What is that? Yeah. The filter lets something through. Let some stuff through and keep other stuff behind. So only the pure things should go through. If it's a gas filter, to keep all the rust from the tank, from the gas tank, from getting into the carburetor. If it's an oil filter, to keep all those metal filings from the engine's movement, to keep it from getting back into the oil engine, to just filter it out. To keep certain things from passing through. So this morning I wanted to think about filters, but not furnace filters per se. Now, before we get into the discussion about filters and behavioral filters, I want to show you a video clip. You might have seen it. It's not the best quality. That's the best I can get. Turn up the sound, please. A bit higher. We need to get the sound here. That's a 5-0 Browning.
Willie. Woo! That's the last one of them we're doing.
Am I bleeding? Whoa, 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 whoa.
I think that's right in the side of your head.
Where'd it hit?
Right in the side of my head. We're not doing that anymore.
Nope, no more iron.
No more.
So what happened? It's a 5-0 Browning. It's begun. It can shoot accurately for 6.8 kilometers. And it's been known to kill the longest kill shot, almost 2.5 kilometers. It goes at, I think, 3,200 feet per second. It's a big gun. The bullet is about that long, that thick. It will penetrate an armored vehicle. So they thought it's a good idea to go and shoot a 5-0 Browning. Got a metal plate, not an actual shooting target. That's the problem. They got a regular metal plate, put it in the sand, downrange about a kilometer or something, shot at it. What happened? Freak of circumstances, everything was spot on, perpendicular, 90 degrees, came back at them. Hit the ground and hit the ear protection of his head. And I don't know if you saw that mark on the ear protection. It hit him, that 5-0 Browning, almost took his head off. And What did they say? Well, do that again. Last one of them we're doing, we better not do that anymore. Because the possible consequences is just too scary. They saw what could happen, and those consequences are too scary. So they said, we're not doing that anymore. And I'll bet my last buck that they've never done that again, those people. And this is the same way all of our behavioral filters are learned. With less thinking, though, but it's the same way that we learn behavioral filters. I don't know how it was done when all of you were young, but when I was young, if we learned a bad word somewhere, Mom would say no. If we don't say that, that's a bad word. If we said it again, the no would become more pronounced, and there would be some eye movement with it, so it would become no. And that might be repeated maybe twice, maybe three times. But if we would keep on using this new bad word that we learned somewhere or heard somewhere, the next thing would either be white pepper in the mouth, to a little bit of a burn, or soap on a toothbrush, and then we were brushing our teeth with that, to wash out the bad words. So I don't know if any of you had similar things happen to you when you use bad words, if you had chili in the mouth or whatever. But of course, it didn't stop. We wouldn't use it again. I also remember when I was little, maybe around 3 or 4, I got into the habit of biting my sisters. And Mom said she was going to bite me if I bite them again. She did that once. She did that once, and since then, I've been known to have never bitten anyone again. And she didn't injure me or anything. She just bit me on the back of the hand, just so that I can see the markings. So I think it's just a mental thing. But it was a bad enough experience for me to stop eating people. All of that. So you are all safe. I've never bitten anybody again. I learned that there's some bad consequences to fighting my sisters. Bad consequences to using bad words. So some of my earliest memories of behavioral adjustment was through the implementation of behavioral filters. I learned that there were certain things I should not do because there were consequences to them, and those were consequences that I really didn't like. So we learn what to do and what not to do in order for us to not get into trouble or to not have unwanted consequences, or to enjoy some good consequences. It works the other way around. If somebody gave me a treat because I was a good boy, I would just do that again because I might get another treat. And then I would adjust my behavioral filters so that I would try and do this thing again and try and not do the other one anymore. So we learn what to do and what not to do. We learn what to do to get a date, to get somebody to go on a date with us. But we also learn what not to do to keep people from going on a date with us. We learn what to do to go through school without too much trouble. We also learn what not to do if you want to go through school without trouble. And you learn that by getting into trouble at school. We learn what to do to make friends. We learn what not to do because that will make us lose our friends. We learn what to do for our relationships to work. We learn what not to do for our relationships to end in disaster. We learn what to do to get a job. We learn what not to do if we want to keep that job. And if we did do the thing, we'll lose that job. And these are all learned behaviors. Because certain things we do and say have predictable outcomes. So then we employ a filter to do certain things or stop us from doing other things. So we have learned which filters to maintain or which filters to introduce so that we would be socially accepted. to go through life with less pain, to not become an outcast in our community. And some of us are still learning this, or fine-tuning our filters as we go, and it isn't always an easy thing to do. We also learn that not all filters are necessary in all situations. It depends on the company you find yourself in, whether you are amongst a group of friends around a campfire, or whether you are downstairs for coffee hour in the fellowship hall at St. Andrews, or if you are sitting in a bar having a drink with a friend, or if you are at work on a construction site. It seems that there are different norms for different gatherings of people, and I'm not arguing whether it should be or should not. It's just the way it is. So, if you are helping, doing some work at church, restoring something down in the fellowship hall or up here in the sanctuary, and you're using a hammer, and you hit your finger, these are the things you would say. If you are on a construction site, hitting that same finger, well, not after that already, but hitting that same finger with the hammer, there's other things that you might say. Because the situation is different. There are some filters that we think would be necessary in church, and there's some filters that we just leave at home when you go to a construction site, for instance. There's some filters we would use when we are sitting around with a group of friends from church. There's some filters that some people might leave at home when they join things for the bar. Now, thinking about Christian filters or church filters, we get the regular filters of society. And that's the things normally prescribed by law. You shouldn't kill people, you'll get in trouble. So I'll just keep myself from killing you. This is what we shouldn't do. We shouldn't walk down the main street and just hit somebody in the face. We shouldn't do that. So you need to take all that anger and filter it out. If you don't really dislike this person, employ your filter, look the other way, don't grieve them, whatever. You cannot do it. Then we get Christian filters or church filters. When you become a Christian, there's some things that we shouldn't do anymore. Like, okay, I used to enjoy a few drinks, but as a Christian, now maybe I should just have one or two drinks, or maybe I shouldn't drink at all. As a Christian, maybe I shouldn't laugh at bad jokes anymore. Maybe I shouldn't tell those jokes in bad taste. As a Christian, maybe I shouldn't be flirting so much with other people because I am in a relationship or I am married. So it's certain things that as Christians, we filter as well. And every time something bad happens or with consequences that we don't like, either a relationship doesn't work out, somebody loses a job, somebody gets sued, or we lose out on a friendship relationship, we've got the same idea as those people shooting those metal plates. We better not do that again. And then we adjust our focus. And we adjust them so that things wouldn't work out that way the next time. But oftentimes, it simply isn't enough to just maintain your focus. Sometimes things slip through the focus, like the hammer at church, even though there's certain things you wouldn't say at church when you are using your hammer in the sanctuary and you hit that thumb, something might slip through that you normally wouldn't slip through. Sometimes it's worse than this. Sometimes you do something that people find out of character for you. Or you just find yourself doing something that you know is out of character. And then we ask ourselves, where did that come from? And people might say, that is so not him or her. Or they might tell you to your face, that is so not you. Where did this come from? Or you might be thinking about this on your own. Say, this is not me. I don't do this. I don't say these things. Where did this come from? Where did that come from? You would have thought that well-maintained and learned filters would have prevented that thing from being said or done. But it's the truth. So where did it come from? came from within. It came from the heart. It came from his heart or her heart. It came from your heart. It is something that came through the filter. So take a gas filter. If there's impurities in the gas tank, the filter needs to stop them. And if the filter gets saturated, something might come through. But if there was no impurities in the gas tank, wouldn't that slip through? So it comes from within you. It comes from your heart. And then you will hear things like, he is not the man or woman that I got married to. Or, he or she changed overnight. I don't even know this person anymore. This is not the person we appointed in this job. Like when they came for the interview in the first few weeks or first few months, it was a different person. And then sometimes we say or do things that is different from what we would normally do. And people cannot believe it. And they're asking, where did it come from? It came from it. It came from our heart. So let's have a read in Scriptures to see what Jesus say about this. And we'll take our scripture reading from Matthew 15, verse 1 to 3. Now Jesus is in an argument with some of the Pharisees and Jewish leaders. They normally approached him out of the blue to just come and argue with him. So once again, they did this. They're always looking for trouble with Jesus. And they're trying to catch him saying something he shouldn't have. They never got it right. But anyway, they tried. Got to give him some kudos for trying. So once again, approach Jesus to argue with him. And then, out of the blue, Jesus is addressing something else. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help his father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. So Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. What goes into somebody's mouth does not defile them. But what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? He replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Peter said, explain the parable to us. Are you still so dull, Jesus asked him? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. These defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Jesus is telling them, can you not see? Holiness doesn't have anything to do with what you eat anymore. That's the Old Testament rule. It was to keep you safe, to keep you holy as my people for the coming of Messiah. Holiness doesn't have anything to do with what you eat anymore. What you eat, it goes in and it stays in for about 2 days and it's not there anymore. But what you do, what you say, these are the things that can make you unholy. And these things come from your heart. Because everything you do starts with the conviction you carry in your heart. Solomon said the same thing in Proverbs 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, in all the translations they know, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. take a stethoscope. A stethoscope are meant to be used to see what's going on in somebody's heart, to listen what's going on, to listen if you've got a strong heartbeat, if there's any murmurs, if there's any valve defects. There's a few things that you can actually hear with a stethoscope by just listening to the heart. Because we cannot see what's going on in there, so we need to find another way. And the stethoscope does that for us. It tells us what's going in inside with this God, the pump. What we say and what we do is like a stethoscope. It tells us what's going on in our heart. So sometimes something do get through the filters. And then we apologize and we say, I'm sorry, I don't know where that came from. Scripture says, Jesus and Solomon says, we know. Let me tell you where it comes from. It comes from your heart. We just learned how to monitor and adjust our filters. To keep things from slipping through. That's what we've learned, and that's what I've learned in church all my life. When you start following Jesus, you shouldn't do this anymore. You should stop doing this thing. You should introduce a filter for this thing. You shouldn't tell bad jokes anymore. Even though you've got so many and you're burning to tell them, you just shouldn't tell them anymore. That's a filter. But nobody taught us to monitor our hearts. Those things that are in your heart, those convictions that you hold, those are the things that will start to transpire in your relationships. And the longer we spend time in relationships, in any type of relationships, romantic, friendship, work, the longer time we spend in any relationship, the more we let go of our reservations. The more we show off ourselves, the more we will let go of our focus. And then people start saying things like, it's a different person than the one we met yesterday. Jesus says, it's out of the heart that evil thoughts come. Now, we know thoughts come from the brain. We think with the brain. But the orientation of our thoughts come from our emotional center. Our center of feeling. The emotional orientation of our thoughts comes from what we call our heart. And we know it's the amygdala. It's not your brain, but we call it our heart, the emotional center. So we're not talking about a physical pump that a doctor can fix. We talk about the emotional center, what we talk about as our heart, where we love. So that is where these things come from. Good thoughts, bad thoughts. The good things you say, the bad things you say. It comes from there. It comes from inside. And if we just employ filters, if we employ filters, we've got this, we entertain the idea that I shouldn't kill somebody because I should control myself. So, it's not that I should hold a different opinion of this person. I shouldn't kill somebody because I should control myself. I shouldn't say bad things to you because I should control myself. I should filter all these things. I shouldn't go around looking for relationships outside of my marriage because I should be able to control myself. I shouldn't say bad things. I should put a guard in front of my mouth. I need to watch my filter. When we guard our hearts, when we look into what's going on inside of us, our convictions, it changes. It's not I shouldn't kill somebody because I will get in trouble or I should control myself. It changes into, I have no need to kill somebody. I have no need to say bad things about somebody else. It's actually, I'm trying to look at other people through God's eyes. I'm trying to get my heart in sync with God's heart. And the more I do that, the less I have to control myself, the less I have to have filters that I maintain to keep me from saying or doing stupid stuff. We need to look at the reasoning why we want to kill people, attack people, say bad things about people, whatever we want to do today. We need to change our hearts to look at people through God's eyes. And this is not a behavioral filter. We won't need a behavioral filter then. Then we can say or do whatever we want. The first thing that comes up, we can say or do. If our hearts are in sync with God's heart, we can just say or do whatever comes up. Because it's coming out of this heart that's in sync with God's heart. It's coming out of a mind that's in sync with God's thought. So instead, Jesus says, watch your heart. Don't just look after the focus. If you pause for a second and ask yourself this question that you can believe, what would you do if it was guaranteed that there would be no consequences? If I can guarantee you no consequences at all, on earth, in heaven, God won't be angry at you, OPP won't arrest you, if you can do anything you want, with the guarantee that there would be no consequences, would you do it? Or what would you do? I forgive my language for before, but you know that idiot at work? Everybody has got an idiot at work, and unless you are retired, then you don't have them anymore, but then you did have them. If there was no consequences, and that person, what would you do? No consequences. None whatsoever. Now, let's say everybody's 25 years old. Okay. Think yourself 25 years ago. And you're a man. I'll give you a little bit. You're a man. It's this beautiful brunette that started working. And she's made her advance. I guarantee you no consequences. What would you do? You're a woman. At work. Very attractive man starts working there. He made his advances. I can guarantee you no consequences. Whatsoever. What would you do? You're walking into a place, there's a sports bag full of cash. $1 million. I can guarantee you no consequences. What would you do? Would you take it? No consequences. There's a lot of studies that has been done on this topic. Within different groups of people, it has been done within different nationalities, different groups of religions, different generations, and the vast majority of people always said in these studies, they would do that bad thing. If they could be guaranteed that there would be no consequences, they would do that. Showing that most of our behavior is just faulty. We're going to have some bad consequences if we do this. And even in the church, we've got some filters. We are scared of not being accepted as part of a community of believers if we don't maintain a specific set of filters. So we just keep on maintaining these filters and having some filters through and hoping nothing will slip through. Because we have learned to behave ourselves. We have learned what we can and cannot do amongst other people. We have learned what, if we do this thing, we should rather do it somewhere secret where nobody can see us and try to hide it from everybody else. But nobody taught us to guard our hearts. Nobody taught us to have a look and see what's going on inside you. And calibrate that and get it in sync with God's heart. And this is not about the 6 or 7 steps, how to guard your heart. It's about the awareness of guarding our hearts. Instead of monitoring our filters to see if they are still in sync with what society would allow, we rather monitor our hearts and see what's going on inside. We all know somebody of whom we can say, there's a bigger problem. There's a problem with their soul. There's a problem with their heart. There's a focus on doing the job. What if we monitored our hearts? What if every one of us start monitoring our hearts? Getting our hearts in sync with God's heart. Allowing God to change our hearts. What would be left to escape the filter, to go past the filter? What would be left to wreak havoc in our relationships? Nothing. There's nothing that could pass the filter, because it would be pure thoughts. It'd be hard to think with God's heart. We wouldn't have to worry about anything slipping through. We would be able to live authentic lives. We would be able to be ourselves in every situation that we find ourselves in, without thinking like, ooh, how should I behave myself in this situation? And how in this one? We could be authentically ourselves in all situations. In all situations. So my question for you is, would you want to change your heart? Would you like to monitor your heart so that you can live out of the heart? Take your cue from your heart, from the convictions that you hold, instead of taking your cue from the focus that you need to meet. And there might have been a whole bunch of bad stuff that have happened to you in your life. Things that would give us goosebumps if we just knew about it. Things that made this anger boil up in your soul, in your heart. Things that have hurt you. Things that have been driving you to get back at some people. Would you allow me to be insensitive for a while? Go home. Today's worship. And take a diary or take a journal or go on your Outlook on your computer and choose a date. Choose a date until when you would allow your history to influence your future. Your bad history. Those things that you are carrying with you in your heart. Choose a date. Choose a date until when you would allow the people that hurt you in your life to determine the way forward in your life, to determine your future. Choose a date. And mark it in some way. If you scared someone's going to see, just put an asterisk in there. Until this day, I will allow all this hurt, all this anger that I'm carrying with me, I will allow it to dictate my future until this day. After that, I will determine what I will bring into my heart. I will determine what goes in. I will get my heart in sync with God. Do you want to go another day with me? That's a question that only you can answer. There's this beautiful song, "It's Well With My Soul," that I guess everybody loves to sing. But is it in fact well with your soul? Is it well with your heart inside? Or do you need too many focus to see that we are well adjusted in our society? still angry at someone? Are you still having this conversation on repeat in your soul? Are you still having some sense of misconstrued joy when somebody else is failing? Do you still carry something with you that you really hope nobody would ever find out about this? Are you dreading a specific question to be asked? Somebody walking up to you and asking you this question. We can get rid of all this stuff, you know. We can get rid of all these things that present us with a need to maintain focus. You can choose what you allow in your heart, what goes in, and then what comes out. As Paul wrote in the Romans, allow God to renew your mind. Allow God to change all of this. If it's hurt, to change this hurt from joy. Allow God to change it so that we can have whole hearts without the need to filter everything that goes out. That's the only way we can be our authentic selves in all situations. Allow God to touch this pure soul. Let's be holy with what we need.